Well, hi everyone. I got my water actually today. Whatever you're drinking, have a sip. Throat's dry sometimes when you get on camera. Did you know that? I want to welcome you to the show. And for those of you who may be new, let me just tell you what the show's about. 6 years ago now, I decided that maybe it's time to get back into broadcasting. And my dear friend Jeff Crilly gave me the opportunity to do, what was I going to call my podcast? I call it Vlogcast, right? Because it's also video. And I thought, well, talk to my daughter about it. She said, well, Mom, you've got a book called Do It Right. Why don't you call the show Doing It Right? Because that's what you do. You help leaders do it right. How they look, act, walk, talk, and are. So that's what my business is about, executive coaching and leadership workshops. Today, I have a really exciting guest who writes mystery novels. So stay tuned.
Welcome to our podcast, Doing It Right. This podcast reveals authentic stories from successful leaders doing it right. It's about their journey to become a leader, their choices, motivations, and lessons. In essence, how they built successful personal brands. Your host is Valerie Sokolowski, author of 8 leadership books and nationally known as an authority on executive presence and personal branding. Let's get started. Here's Valerie.
I want to thank, first of all, 2 sponsors. First of all, TaylorBags.com. These bags, she has so many of them. Today I decided to show you this little bag that you can carry to an evening event, or that comes in black also, or you can put it over your shoulder as such. Whoa, how does that work? Okay, Nina, there you go. Pretend I'm in an evening gown. Yes. Well, I don't think I'd do it that way, would I? Or you can just carry it this way. Anyway, I love this little bag because it's little, but it's big enough. And the quality is such, you can stuff a lot of things in here when you go to those special events, or when you just want a little bag. So go to TaylorBags.com and you'll see a variety of all sizes and shapes. I think that Stephanie Taylor, the designer, would tell you if she were here that her uniqueness is that they are handmade with a very small boutique manufacturing company in Spain. The leathers are beautiful. The designs are incredible. TaylorBags.com. I also want you to notice my pink outfit, and that is from, at Preston Center, Betty Ryder Boutique. She has such unusual and beautiful designs from all over the world, particularly Europe. Betty Ryder Boutique in Preston Center. All right. I want to welcome to the show a mystery writer, an executive coach, and a psychotherapist. Nina, I want to be like you when I grow up.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much for having me on the show, Valerie. You and I have known each other a long time, and this is such a joy and a privilege. So I am so thrilled to be here today.
Well, thank you. I'm glad to have you because I've known you in the other parts of your life. Yeah. I really didn't realize, right, until recently how many mystery books you've written. And yes, we're going to talk about, since I'm a writer too, why did you write mystery books when you're a psychotherapist and an executive coach? So let's get started with that. How did it start? How did you start writing? Here's 2 of them, by the way. I'll hold them up. Now, these 2 are what, a series?
These are in a series. So this is Expert Witness, book 1 of the series about Dr. Jill Rhodes. That plays into what I did for a living and do now. And then the second book is The Deep End. So it's 2 books in the series so far, but I have 3 other standalone books if anyone's interested in those.
And go, they're on Amazon. I went and they're rated really high. And I read a lot of the one you sent me, which was this one, right?
I can't remember which one.
I think so.
Yes, I think it was this one. Yes. And and also I have a free novella that we're going to offer to the listeners today, the viewers today.
We love freebies. Thank you. We always have giveaways.
Yes.
My guests are generous.
Absolutely. So you asked me how it got started. So earlier in my career, I was a psychotherapist, and then I moved to executive coaching, and that was about 22 years ago. And that's all I've done since then in terms of my day job. But I wrote self-help books way back in the day. And then eventually I stopped writing self-help books because I was no longer a psychotherapist and didn't write anything for a long time, but always thought, because I'm an avid reader and I love mystery thrillers, I love fiction. So I always thought someday I would really love to write a fiction book. However, didn't have a story, just didn't have one. But I had the aspiration. One day I was talking to my colleagues who are all executive coaches, and they said the question of the day was, what is the one thing, if you don't do it, you're gonna regret it down the road?
What a great question.
What a great question, isn't it?
It is.
And I immediately said, write fiction. So of course, them being executive coaches and being all about accountability, they said, well, when are you gonna get started? So that meant I had to get started.
Good for them, good for them.
I still didn't have a story though, but one morning I woke up and I, from a dream about a book, about a storyline, I actually dreamt it. And then I walked in the kitchen and I said to my husband, what do you think it would be like if I wrote a book about this? And I kind of gave him the general plot. Mm-hmm. He looked at me and said, well, I guess you won't know unless you try.
What a great husband. So, what a great supporter.
So with all this accountability around me, I dove in, and that's how it got started. That was 5 years ago. Since then, I've written and published 5 novels.
5.
Yes.
You know, that, well, first of all, that blows my mind. Mm-hmm. I've got lots of books, but I didn't write them in 5 years. It took a long time to write my 8 books, and I just don't understand how a brain like yours can go from the self-help and the things I know you doing for coaching and helping leaders be the best they can be into mystery. Where did that come from? In psychotherapy, I'm sure you had stories. Did it start there with real people?
Well, yeah, real stories. I mean, I've heard more stories than I can count in my now 35 years of first being a therapist and then an executive coach. I've heard so many stories. Mm-hmm. And but what really the stories have taught me is kind of the evolution of human beings, that people take on change and transformation in their lives. Mm-hmm. And also that there's a dark and a light side to life. There's
That's nice.
It's not one or the other, it's mm-hmm. both. And so when I started writing fiction, I really wanted to write something that gave people the darker side of life, because that's reality, but also that there's always going to be a way to overcome it. So I like having a hero in my books, more than one hero, actually. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And so there are a lot of mystery writers who write all on the dark side. And there are very few, if any, redeemable characters. I want redeemable characters because I want people to be lifted up at the end of it. When we get to the dark stuff, I want people to feel lifted up, like, yes, there is redemption. Yes, people can mm-hmm. overcome really difficult things, because all of the people that I've worked with over 35 years, that's what they were about, is how do I overcome the difficult things?
That's a beautiful story. I have to tell you an interesting story about another author that writes espionage, mm-hmm. and a different reason to write espionage. It's just always fascinating, audience, to ask authors, you know, why they're writing the genre that they are. And in his case, he wanted to travel all over the world. Mm-hmm. And so he created a character named Sam Capra. His name is Jeff Abbott. Espionage, no competition. He was on the show, and he said he wanted to travel all over the world. So his character, Sam Capra, owns bars all over the world. But the purpose was he wanted to write something that would take him to different parts of the world. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So
I think authors do tend to have a purpose mm-hmm. behind what they are doing. So, and that's one of the great things about being an author, is that there is this sense of purpose at the center of it. Mm-hmm. So whenever I sit down to write, that purpose guides me. It's not just random writing, or can I come up with something catchy to make people want to turn the page? It's deeper than that for me, and I think for a lot of writers.
I think that's true.
Yeah.
So tell the audience briefly what these two are about. Make them want to get in and order them and read them.
Yes,
I did. It's great.
So going back to one of your original questions, how in the world do you go from being a psychotherapist to being an executive coach and now a mystery writer? So this series, starting with The Expert Witness, the main character is a psychologist. She's a woman. And she is in private practice just living her life. And then one day something comes to her. One of her clients sitting in front of her, who's an attorney, says, I have this horrible case that I'm working on. And it's about a teenager with special needs, a boy. Mm-hmm. And he's been accused of murder. And he said, he didn't kill anyone, but he's probably going to go to prison for life if we don't help him. Can you help me help him?
Love that.
And that's how she gets drawn in to solving a crime. And of course, there's a wonderful, handsome detective, the Dallas Police Department, who she ends up working side by side with to solve the case. Mm-hmm. And of course, they have a little chemistry. Mm-hmm. That chemistry will evolve over time. It's not a rapid thing. It's a very slow moving thing. But they work together on the case to attempt to, and I'm not going to give anything away with any spoilers, but what they're trying to do is find out who really did commit the murder, if not this kid. Mm-hmm. And of course, there's no certainty that he didn't. He might have, but they think he might not have. And that's what the book is about.
It's interesting that you brought a special needs person into the book. Is there a story around that?
Yeah, in this case, the reason I put this special needs teenager in it, is it turns out that he is on the autism spectrum disorder. So mm-hmm. he has ASD, he's on the spectrum. And because of that, he's misunderstood. And people make mm-hmm. assumptions about him that make him look very guilty. And I won't say whether or not he actually is, but it obscures the truth of the case that he does have this disorder. Mm-hmm. So a lot of it, and because she's a psychologist, her job is to peel those layers and try to get to the truth of who he is and who the victim was and the lives around them, because they were friends before she was murdered. And so what is the truth of that? And trying to peel that psychologically, and given that there's this disorder in the middle of it, makes it very complicated. That's why I chose that.
I'm sitting here, obviously I just got the book, so I haven't had a chance to read it except for the prologue. But it's fascinating as an author how the ideas come. You said in a dream. I've had people say when they were on a trip and they just got an idea watching the ocean or whatever.
Exactly.
Right?
Yes.
But the point is, if you're meant to write, you probably will end up writing.
And I think there's something about creating space around creativity. Mm. So there's an intention first. The intention is to be creative, and then secondly, creating the space around it, that I think any artist of any kind needs that, because the inspiration and the ideas come out of that space around it. Mm-hmm. When you're going 90,000 miles an hour, which I often am, it blocks that creative flow. So I have to take time to be alone and be quiet for those things to come to me.
Do you go away?
I do at times. Once a year, I try to go away for about a week, mm-hmm. and that's my annual personal and writing retreat.
Which is not a bad idea for any mm-hmm. of us, actually.
Exactly.
I don't know about others watching or listening in the audience, but I am finding in the world in which we live, Nina, that many people who are in leadership positions, meaning they then have people they have to worry about, and it can take a toll. So it's okay, right, for us to get away for a while?
It's not only okay, it's actually recommended. And a number of my CEO and executive clients will periodically take their own personal retreat, just to go away, be quiet, take a journal, don't do anything, stay off of phones and computers and be quiet. And that's highly recommended. The more demanding your job or role is mm-hmm. in your day job, the more you need to be able to do that periodically.
That is what I call a top takeaway, which mm-hmm. leads me to, we always do this, as you know, Nina, I always ask my guests to put down for us the lessons in life that they've learned. And that certainly is a good one. And the other one that we've talked about a little bit, I'd like you to add to it, that there's a season for everything. Let yes. it unfold. Yeah. I loved yeah. that. The second part, there's a season for everything. Okay, we may know that. But then when you said, let it unfold, yeah. tell us about that.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, there have been times when I said to myself, gee, I wish I would have gotten into writing fiction sooner instead of this stage of life. Mm-hmm. But I wasn't ready. It wasn't the right season of my life until it was.
Until it was.
Then once I began to believe that it is the right season for that, then I had to let go of expectations of a certain thing has to happen by a certain time. You know, I've got to do this, I've got to do that. But rather to let it unfold, especially something like this, being creative. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can't force that. Mm-mm. The writer's discipline that I use, and a lot of writers do, is time. I do time blocking. So in that time frame, I sit down and allow it to unfold. And it's okay if I write a sentence, a paragraph, a chapter, or five chapters in that time frame. Doesn't matter how much the output is. What matters is that I created that time and I honored it for the creative process.
You honored it. Yes. You know, that takes me mm-hmm. to, let's get back to people who are listening and watching this show, leaders, emerging yeah. leaders, people yes. who want to be a leader, meaning yes. simply they have someone to lead, right? We're all leaders mm-hmm. in our own rights. But tell us more about the time and blocking time.
Yes.
And I'll tell you why I'm asking yeah. that. There have been many coaches recently in my work too, that they just don't take time. Mm-hmm. And if I ask them the why or try to say you need to, well, I don't have time.
I just don't have time.
Yeah.
That's the excuse I hear too.
All right.
I'll tell you how I overcome it.
Please.
I tell them this. I go, imagine you have a manufacturing business. Imagine that you're running a bunch of lines out in your factory, people, machines, all that. Do you run at 100% capacity in your plant? Well, no. Even the people who are not in manufacturing know that. They go, well, no, of course not. They go, why not? Because you have to have setup time. You have to have maintenance time. You have to have teaching time because people have to learn a new setup when you switch from one product to the other. So you'd never run it at full capacity because you would burn out your machines and your people and you would make a lot of mistakes and have to redo it. Same thing is true for us. If we run at 100% capacity and we have no time for our own maintenance, mm-hmm. our own care, teaching ourselves things, what about the learning piece of leadership? Where do you get that? You have to take time. Mm-hmm. You have to set it aside thinking time and learning time to be a really effective leader. Otherwise, you're just doing the same thing over and over and over again. Guess what? The speed of change in today's world is breathtaking.
It is.
And if you are not stepping back so you can learn and reflect and anticipate change and flex with that, then you're falling behind as a leader.
Very wise. You have such wisdom from all the aspects of your life, Nina. I love having you today. You also said in your lessons learned that mentors and teachers are vital. Who comes to mind as someone that's really been impactful for you?
I have so many, I can't count them.
That's great.
When I became an executive coach, I got involved in an organization called Vistage. And I have been so blessed because I've met people people in that organization who are tremendously wise, light years ahead of me, and I learned from them. They became my mentors and my teachers. Mm. And I think without that, you just live in an echo chamber. You just talk to yourself, and that's all you hear, and it's an echo chamber. Well,
self doesn't give me good answers, Naya.
I always say to people, you know, it's a dangerous place to go. The only place you're going is inside your own head. It's a little bit dangerous. Mm-hmm. You're going to miss things, and you're not going to grow. You're not really going to get better. You're not going to sharpen your own saw if all you do is go inside your own head.
Again, wisdom from all the aspects of who you are. The other teachable point of view or a takeaway you put down for me really resonates. You said, find the part of any new venture that you love and focus there, reinforce the love. I'd never thought about work, any part of work, as love. Mm-hmm. So talk us through that a little bit. It sounds great.
It's something that I think I felt to be true, but then I got validation recently because I got to hear Marcus Buckingham, who was with Gallup for many, many years, tons of research on organizations and organizational development. And so their latest piece of research says that people have to love at least 20% of what they are doing every single day in order to really be great at it. Isn't that interesting? That's what the research shows.
That's interesting.
Mm-hmm. And so, and then no matter what the venture is, there are plenty of things we have to do that we don't particularly like, but we have to do them.
Right.
And new entrepreneurs, young entrepreneurs have to wear many hats. So they're doing a lot of things that are not in their natural skill set. They don't particularly enjoy it, but they have to do it. But what you do have to do is you have to find the part of it that you do love. And put a lot of focus there. Make sure that's a good part of your day and a big part of your week. That will keep you energized to keep going because there is nothing harder than starting a business. And then once you get it going, running it and growing it and all the demands that come after that. Mm-hmm. So hard on human beings to do that. So you got to find the love part to keep yourself energized.
So take us to someone who's in a company. It's not a company that you own.
Yeah.
A worker that's being paid with a check that comes from somebody else.
Yes.
Yes. I remember those days. Yes. And their time, so many of them say, is not their own. And you say, find something you love. Give us a real world example, someone that's in a company.
Yeah, well, I would give this example. Have you ever gotten into a taxi or a rideshare vehicle with someone who is just happy? The driver. They're just happy.
Oh.
They talk to you, they share things with you, they ask you questions about you. They're just bubbling over with happiness. Now, for me, the thought of driving around a rideshare vehicle and picking up strangers all day long is just like nightmare. I would hate that job. But these are people who have found what they love, which is connecting with other people. And I have run across people like that many, many times in my life. I'll give you another example. Recently, I went to facilitate a leadership team, and the CEO's executive assistant came in the room, and she was helping set up. And she was just so happy and bubbling over, and I just started chatting with her. And I said, how do you like your job? She said, I love my job. And her job is, again, a job I would never, you know, catering to all these executives that are flying 90 miles an hour all the time and barking, you know, commands.
Orders.
Yeah, do this. And she said, I love my job. I said, what is it you love about it? She said, I love being of service. That makes me happy. When I can do something for my CEO or anyone else on the team and it's of service to them, that makes me happy.
That's fascinating, and I want to delve into that just a little deeper with the young generation coming up. In this case, the Gen Zs, right? What's making them happy in work? Have you I think I'll write a book with you on that.
Oh.
You can, you know, we talk about the boomers. Yes. We are. And we know what makes us happy. But these younger people that are just entering the workforce, thoughts for them?
I would say make it your mission in life to find that. It isn't handed to you.
There you go.
No one's going to tell you what that is for you. Mm-hmm. You have to discover it for yourself. How do you discover that? You discover it by being fully engaged in whatever job you are doing. It is probably not your forever job. That's okay, because whatever job you find yourself doing initially is a learning job. You're there to learn who you are, what lights you up, what is your unique contribution that you can make to the world. And if you're learning that, if you're paying attention and you're going, I really want to learn about myself, I want to learn about what my unique gifts are. And then you can ask people around you after you've been there a while, what do you think I do well? What do you see me doing that makes a difference? You learn so much, and that positions you for moving to whatever it is that is more in alignment with where you want to be in the world and where you want to make your unique contribution. No one can give it to you. You have to discover it, but you have to be intentional about discovering it.
That right there is just a really solid piece of advice for anyone, because mm-hmm. what happens in the leadership development courses, many of them, let's define your purpose.
Yes. What's your why?
What's your why? That's an ocean question. We could do another podcast on that. I'm going to ask you one final question. Is there any question when you've been on other podcasts or you've been coaching people, is there any question that you wish someone would ask you as an executive?
I guess I would want someone to ask me, what put you on your path to get where you are? And I would say that what put me on my path was a desire for more out of life. I grew up in a very small town in East Texas. Wasn't a lot for me there. So I came to the big city of Dallas, but I wanted more. And I had the intention to learn. That was what put me on my path. It was like, I want to learn. I want to discover. I want to grow. Mm-hmm. I want more, so I know I need to learn and absorb more in order to have more. So I think it was that circle of that, and a big piece of it being my own personal development, as a human being. And coming from a world where women didn't necessarily have a ton of opportunities, and also of the era of that, of that age. Women were supposed to be secretaries and not do things like I do today. But just that desire to learn and wanting to know more is what I believe set me on my path.
And I'll just tag on to that to say, my belief firmly is when you have an intention, when you have an aspiration, hang on to it. That would be, I think I'll use that as my Valerieism. I always end with a Valerieism.
Oh,
so
cool.
Let's just do it right now.
Let's do it.
Okay, that's it. When you have an aspiration, hang on to it. Don't let it go. Don't let anyone say you can't. Or I'll give you a real story that just happened to me. An audience, I hope this is helpful. I had an aspiration to roll out a leadership course, my first online course, and it was ready to go. Nina, do you know how many online leadership courses there are being offered to corporations?
Yes, a bazillion.
Of course, I offered it first to those people who knew me, and I got the same answer. Valerie, I'd love to do that with you. But here's what I got. We're doing it in-house.
Yes.
We're doing something for emerging leaders now. It didn't matter what it was. They were either already doing it or didn't have the budget.
Mm-hmm.
So here's my aha on that. I should have picked up the phone before I ever tried to market it to them and develop it. So those of you listening, wow, that was a big lesson. Mm-hmm. I don't care how valuable you think, and even you know, your work is, your body of work, I'll say. And this was a 6-8 week leadership development course for emerging leaders. Yes. And every corporation said, it is so needed, you're right.
Yes.
And we're already doing
it. Already doing it, yes.
So, okay, that's a lesson learned.
Yeah, know your market, know your competition, you know, so that you can decide if you want to swim in that ocean. And is that a red ocean or a blue ocean? We're going to have a whole nother conversation just about that.
Well, I'll tell you one thing, I'm on to the next thing. And that's what we should all do, pick up our lessons learned. And if it's lessons we didn't want to learn, that's okay.
That's okay.
Move on.
Nina,
this has been really fun. They're really good. Yes. And hold these up again.
Yes.
And
okay,
please tell the people also you have a free giveaway.
I do. Okay, this is the series. First book, Expert Witness. Second book, The Deep End. Dr. Jill Rhodes, Detective Nick Webb.
Those are the characters.
Yes, they are. I do have a novella that is a complete giveaway.
Now, tell us about a novella, because honestly, I didn't know what that was.
Okay, a novella is a shorter version of a novel. So instead of this thick, it's more like that thick. But it's not print, it's ebook only. And Valerie is going to, you're going to give this to the audience and in your blast out. So if you will make sure that you are signed up for Valerie's newsletter, you will get a blast. It will give you a link where you can pick up my free novella.
There you go. And the newsletter's free. So all you have to do is just email me, Valerie, it's easy, my name, at valerieandcompany.com. And just say, want Nina's work. And then I'll send you the newsletter and it'll have the link. And I know you'll enjoy it. Nina, thank you so much for today.
Thank you for having me.
Let's go have a cup of coffee.
Absolutely. Let's do it.
Until next time, stay happy and follow your dreams. They're in there for some reason. Go for it. Bye for now.
Thanks for listening. To receive Valerie's voice, free monthly leadership tips, and to learn more about her leadership programs and coaching, visit her website, valerieandcompany.com. Next week, we'll be here again to inspire, engage, and equip you with teachable points of view from successful leaders who have been doing it right. Until then, lead authentically.